Welcome to Under the Influence, the podcast where we help chiropractors improve their communication skills so they can help more people and help people more.
I'm your host, Dr. Martin Harvey. I'm a chiropractor and I'm an expert in communicating the value of chiropractic. Today on Under the Influence, I'm going to be answering a listener question about what to do if you get a bad review. Now, I'm going to be talking specifically about Google, but same basic principles wherever that review is placed. And it's a really interesting and important thing for us to consider because Google reviews, like them, love them, whatever, they are incredibly important for the reputation of your practice. You see, I speak often about how there's been a change in the information environment that we practice in, where we used to practice in an environment, you know, pre the internet, where we as healthcare experts held a particular and valuable insight into an area of knowledge, i.e. an aspect of health, an aspect of the way that the body worked. And most consumers did not have access to that information. They had to go to a library and look things up in an Encyclopedia Britannica or go looking through the stacks of the library shelves, or go, if they were particularly resourceful, go to a university and look at journal articles to try and access information. Whereas the internet has really democratized knowledge in a way that most people in the world now have access to all of human insight, all of human knowledge from the smartphone in their pocket. And so it's changed the power dynamics quite a bit as well, because coupled with that, people have access to a voice. They can give feedback in a way that everybody can broadcast their view on something, whether it's positive or negative. And so in the old days, if you had a client, patient, practice member who had an experience that didn't meet their expectations, they might tell, what's the statistic, 1 to 10 people that they had an unsatisfactory experience. And we were concerned about that. But people who now have an unsatisfactory experience have the megaphone of social media and Google reviews, etc., to give your practice and you by extension a black eye, to punch you because they're pissed off. So super important area. It's also, if we look at the dynamics of people choosing to have care with us, 81% of people, according to Forbes magazine, are either influenced or it's the decisive factor in who they go to see when they're looking for a healthcare provider. And reviews, particularly Google reviews, impact your SEO, your search engine optimization. So if you're looking to help more new people, having good reviews but also elegantly managing bad reviews is a really important thing. Some announcements. I will be speaking at the Edinburgh Lectures on Saturday, 10th of June. Fantastic lineup. There's myself, Brad Glowacki, Vismay Schoenfelder, Nona Javed, Amanda Apfelblatt, Aaron Morris, Skip Weiss, Melissa Sanford, and Bettina Tornatora. So fabulous lineup. It's a really cool event. It's a really good social event, and Edinburgh is an amazing place to visit. So I hope to see you there. If you're coming, I would love to have you come the day early, because I am doing a one-day seminar in conjunction with the Edinburgh Lectures on Friday the 9th. It is going to be my retention skills program. So it'll be a deep dive into equipping you to be able to communicate the value of chiropractic in a really powerful way so that people want to stay longer in your practice. We'll be talking about connection. We'll be talking about individualized value. It's one of my favorite programs because it has an immediate impact on people's confidence and certainty in communicating the value of chiropractic. So I hope you will join me there. If you're looking for online resources, I would recommend the Retention Recipe 2.0. It breaks down exactly how to set up communication approaches in the first 12 visits to help people through that pain to prevention to performance journey so that you are starting things right. So the link is in the show notes, as it is the link for the Edinburgh lectures and the workshop connected to it. With the Retention Recipe 2.0, there are sample lessons if you want to give it a bit of a test drive to see if it gels for you. Also, Certainty 2.0, which is looking at you doing a deep dive on your perspective on chiropractic philosophy, the procedures that you use, and the paradigm that that is the intervening link between the two, and going through a process of refining them so that every day in practice you are feeling more certain in your clinical decision making. So again, link is in the show notes, and there are sample lessons if you just want to check it out. So on to our topic for today. If we are looking at the idea of Google reviews, it was brought to me by a regular reader and somebody who's done a lot of my programs, Janine, and this is the message I got from her. Firstly, thank you for all the valuable content you put out there and great work with the podcast. Love it. Thank you, Janine. I appreciate it. I had to deal with something the other day and you were the first person that I thought of. We've all had to deal with disgruntled people in the course of our career, and it's usually via phone or, if you're really lucky, in person. Yeah, I agree. Dealing with it in person is much better. There's more nuance and ability to, I guess, really have a conversation rather than just a one-off response. The other night I was checking emails just before bed, which, as an aside, I'll never do again. Yeah, it's often not what you want to read. And I was alerted that I'd received a new Google review. I thought, oh, that's nice. Until I had a look, and the review was a great big fat one star with a rather long, rambling, not very flattering, poorly punctuated sentence attached to it. I sort of like it if there's bad feedback that's poorly punctuated. It sort of almost makes you feel better, doesn't it? Now, I personally am not a big Google review person. I generally pay little attention to them myself when I'm shopping around for things, as I'm fully aware that a lot of positive reviews are often purchased. A lot of negative reviews can be removed or blocked. However, a lot of people do choose their goods and services based on reviews alone. Yeah, as I was saying earlier, the Forbes perspective is probably 81% in the healthcare environment. So I'm mindful that this could be damaging or scare off people that would otherwise benefit from care. I thought it would be a great topic for one of your podcasts, going through the best way to respond to a poor review or whether to respond at all. Initially, I was happy to pay someone to just wipe this guy off, but after I cooled down, I thought it best to leave and respond back. It was the first time I've had to do this, and I found it an interesting exercise. I actually don't even mind that it's there, as I think it conveys a certain level of authenticity and transparency. Thanks, Janine. Yeah, I 100% agree. There is research that shows that if you look at the Google star ratings, that people actually will feel that somebody with a 4.7 or 4.8 star rating is more likely to be of a really high standard than somebody with a 5-star rating, just because there's that idea of if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And consumers are sophisticated enough to recognize that not every service satisfies every person every time. And so there is kind of an authenticity and transparency in leaving it there, not having it taken off or wiped or whatever else. So in general, though, in terms of if it is having a significant impact on your rating, getting some happy people to leave a review is a good way of altering the balance there. However, if you are practicing in Australia, a quick caveat that there are very specific rules around soliciting testimonials. We can ask for a review, which is broadly about the non-clinical aspects of our care, but we can't ask for a testimonials. For the rest of you in the world where this doesn't matter, you can just ignore that bit. But in terms of actually answering a negative review, I agree that you should answer it, because it extends that transparency and authenticity. That if you leave something negative said about you and don't even offer an answer to people coming to view your practice to see if you're somebody that they should see, seeing that just looks like, you know, you could interpret that as you don't care. It also, part of what can happen if you skillfully manage negative feedback is you can diffuse its further impact. If you show people that you do care and that you've heard them, then that's a powerful way of sometimes getting people back from an anger, and they may even choose to remove their review. We can't necessarily rely on that, but I think there's a tremendous upside in answering a negative review. However, how you answer it is incredibly important. Getting negative feedback about something that we often feel is unjust or not appropriate it stings, and it's very easy to take it personally and look to fight back, to look to leave a snarky or stinging answer that puts the person in their place for their ridiculous feedback. However, that often doesn't play well. It doesn't play well to that person. It can actually antagonize them and have them and leave bad reviews in other places, or in some circumstances even make a complaint about you to a regulatory body. But it also just in the long term doesn't play well to what the main audience that I think you want to be concerned about is, which is the other people who may read that. So I really think you want to be looking at this is an opportunity to show that you do care, that you're a reasonable person, and also put your perspective in a balanced way. So how do we go about that? First of all, I would suggest if you are feeling a bit agitated, a bit aroused, a bit angry, that you do a draft response and just leave it for a while. You do want the response to be relatively timely, like you don't want to be leaving a response for a week or two. Ideally within 24 hours is the timeline that I would suggest. But you can either wait till you cool down, or else you can have somebody else read it who maybe isn't so likely to take it personally. If appropriate, and I think in most circumstances it is, I suggest that you apologize. Now, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to necessarily agree with their version of events, but you can say, look, I'm sorry that your experience didn't meet your expectations. And you can put some language around that. Aligned Chiropractic has been serving people of South Melbourne for 32 years, and we pride ourselves on the satisfaction of the people that come to our practice, and so I'm sorry that that wasn't the experience that you had. If there is something that was messed up, if somebody did misbook an appointment, then apologising and owning the mistake is, again, that there's that candour aspect where if you admit a weakness, then everything else that you say will be seen in a much more positive light. So if it was that somebody came along expecting that they would have care on their first visit and it wasn't explained to them that they may not have care on a first visit, then you can say, look, I'm sorry that your experience didn't live up to the expectations that you came with, and a normal process would be to explain to people that to do a appropriate clinical examination and to provide the best care in the safest way, we often do need to get extra information or have an opportunity to think through the best strategy. And so that does mean for some people that we don't provide care on the first visit, and I apologize if that wasn't explained clearly to you. So you can, I guess, in a moderate way, explain that your circumstance. And the moderate bit, again, it's important to look at this through the lens of you're really speaking to the people who are coming along later to see if you're the person that they want to see. And seeing you zing somebody for disagreeing with a clinical approach really doesn't play well at all. So if we look then, we've put our moderate response up, we've acknowledged that we're sorry that their experience didn't match their expectations, we've explained what our normal approach would be. I would also then look to take the conversation offline, to take it to a one-to-one conversation. So I would, if they were a client, I would text or email them and say, very much what you've said, saying, look, I'm sorry that your experience wasn't up to their expectations. Would they be interested in having a conversation or seeing if there was anything that we could do to leave them feeling heard and make their experience any better at all. And so in that scenario, we're really then looking at using the overall skill set that difficult situations require. So things that we've spoken about previously with other situations, we were asking permission, we're making sure that we hear them, we're asking to clarify anything that's unclear, and then we're asking permission again to offer a slightly different perspective. So there we have it. Google reviews, the negative version, how to handle it. It's an important skill to have. It's probably not the most exciting part of your communication skill set, but this is one of those examples where I think our ability to handle negative situations is one of the most important skills, because it's like the cliche of when the going gets tough, the tough get going, or I'm not sure if that's the right cliche, but you get the idea. Your ability to confidently and clearly handle situations when they're difficult really determines how willing you are going to be to get out and spread your message about chiropractic. Because if you are worried about getting any negative feedback and that you won't be able to handle it smoothly or elegantly, you tend to hold back from getting out there. So important conversation to have in terms of handling negative reviews, because it's going to impact your confidence, it's going to impact the SEO of your practice, and it's going to impact how attractive you look when people are looking at you online. So catch you next week on Under the Influence. If you like today's episode, then you will love the Retention Recipe 2.0. It's an online workshop that is broken into 33 lessons and has over 7 hours of content, which will teach you to confidently communicate the value of proactive chiropractic in the first 12 visits. So if we want to have long-term retention, if we want people to stay with us for months, years, and reap the really amazing health benefits that happen with long-term chiropractic care, we need to set the foundation for that in the first 12 visits. So the approaches in the Retention Recipe 2.0 are based on state-of-the-art influence strategies that are effective, ethical, and they're enjoyable to use. They will help you to have more fun, less stress, and increase your retention, which means more practice growth and less always being on the hunt for new people. Check it out in the link in the show notes.